friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
It is you, and how are you today?
I'm gorge, thank you. I'm a little bit, like, discombobulated, because I overslept. I didn't sleep that well last night, and I woke up to a message from you, and I've basically rolled out of bed, cleaned my teeth, and here I am. So I'm here, like, my raw form, you know?
Your newborn self.
How are you?
I am good. It's a sunny day. I'm probably going to go running after we have had this conversation.
So delightful. That I can
ingest some rays. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Before I begin this, should I ask you what you're reading at the moment? Because I know, have you finished the book you were reading that I'm also reading?
Yes, you can, because I have a different answer.
Cool. What are you reading?
So, I'm actually going to talk about the book that I'm reading in this very episode because I started it last night. It's a really short read, hint at what is to come. And my plan was to wake up and finish it in bed, but I fucking didn't because I overslept. So, I'm not going to tell you yet what I'm reading. Me, cool. With my secrets. What are you reading right now?
Well, I am not reading anything because last night I finished reading The Turnout by Megan Abbott, which I'm sure we will discuss at greater length at a future date.
Yeah, that also happens to be the book that I'm reading, but not the one that I was just vaguely referring to. I thought I would just slap in a short novel last night in preparation for this episode, but I fucked it. This episode being, we're going to talk about novellas and quick reads. So I feel like I have this stack of books in front of me, and I feel like we've talked about most of them at some point or another on the pod before, but we've never grouped them together in this way or talked about them from this angle. So I hope that's not too repetitive. There is still at least one book that we haven't talked about in at least three books, actually. Oh, four maybe. Okay. There might be some surprises. So, for fun, we decided, basically, we had a listener whose name I didn't jot down, and I do apologise, but we had a listener ask us if we'd ever done an episode on quick reads. And I was like, no, we haven't, but I did do this Twitter thread about 3 years ago. I can link you to that. And that kind of inspired this episode, because sometimes, especially in the summer, I think it's really nice to just sit down by a pool or in a pub with a pint and smash through an entire book in one go. But you can't always tell by looking at something how long it's actually going to take you to read it.
True.
Because of print size, because of, like, page quality, you know, like, the thickness of the pages can determine how thick a book looks, space on the page as well. So sometimes, you know, yeah, something that looks quite long, you can smash through really quickly. Something that looks super short actually is really dense and it takes ages. So, for fun, I've also organized these books by reading time.
Cool.
So we're going to start longest to shortest.
We love an organization.
I know. Why am I like this?
This reading length, is this based on how long the audiobook is on Audible, or is it based on average reading pace in relation to... Tell me how you've done this.
I'm glad you asked. Okay, so it's not based on the audiobook length, because again, the audiobook length is going to be longer than the average reader's internal reading length. So true. I use a website, which I'm absolutely obsessed with. I use it all the time. It's called readinglength.com. You can search for pretty much any book, although I have found that a couple of books I've looked up haven't been there. I think that depends on whether or not they've been released in America. I'm guessing it's an American website. And basically, this website determines the reading length based on the average reader's reading speed, which is 250 words per minute. So if you are a bang on average reader, that's how long these books will take you to read. They also work out a word count and page numbers, which I think is super interesting. The word count is a guesstimation based on the number of pages, so it's not necessarily always accurate, but for prose, rather than something like The End We Start On, that word count may be off, because obviously there's loads of white space on those pages. But for your average prose, you're going to get an approximate word count, which for as writers as well, that's, I think, really interesting info. Because it can help you kind of map out how long different books are, like, on the page. So.
Very interesting.
It's also worth, like, if you're a nerd like me and like data, I recommend figuring out your reading length. Because I think it's fun. I always thought I read quite slowly. But then it turned out I'm just really bad at maths. I've been like thinking about the numbers in the wrong way.
I accept that you are bad at maths. That makes sense to me.
I just can't do it. Okay, did you want to introduce the first book or shall I?
I will introduce the first one because there's some that I have not read on this list and this is one that I have read. So, first on our list, which is the longest at a juicy, in this context, 2 hours, 56 minutes of reading time, is Our Current Obsession, Come Closer by Sarah Gran. We love this book, which is about a woman who becomes possessed by a demon. Obviously, we have talked about it before, but I just literally think about this book all the time.
It is so good. Like, it's the kind of book that I may end up reading twice in 1 year. It's so good.
Yeah, I will definitely revisit this. I just love it. There's just something so, like, yeah, I don't know. It just really gets under your skin. It really, like, gets into the little nooks and crannies of your brain.
And it kind of, so I would compare it to, like, the blackout. I can't remember what the drug is called. The experimental drug. Infermerol? The blackout's from My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Atessa Mushfeg. It's like that, vibing with Jennifer's Body, kind of vibing with American Psycho.
Yeah.
And then also kind of like none of those things at all.
Yeah, because we'd mentioned In the Cut by Susanna Moore as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like it has stuff in common with that. It's just, yeah. There's like a few books that I've read over the last few years that are kind of like maybe horror-y, supernaturally flavored without being like explicitly of that genre. And yeah, they when I'm feeling them, I'm really feeling them.
And I think for me, that is my like horror sweet spot in literature. Mm. Like in cinema, I'll watch pretty much anything as long as it's not going to stress me out or ruin my life in a bad way. Whereas I think with books, I'm a bit fussier because I really don't like long action sequences.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've said this many times before, but I just find them boring. My brain can't really process what's happening. You may as well just too long didn't read it and just say like a big thing ensued and then this is the outcome. And I think a lot of horror does tend to rely on the visual. So stuff like this, it's incredibly creepy and gets right under your skin. It just does it for me.
Yeah, because like a lot of the kind of horrific things that happen in the book, you're not really there for. It's just the kind of before and after, the like feeling of her life. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I just love it.
Okay, next on the list, we have Ghost Wall by Sarah Moss.
Yes.
This one is 2 hours and 24 in terms of reading time. Okay, yeah, so in a nutshell, this one is about a teenager whose parents are really into, like, they call it experimental archaeology, but I would call it, like, LARPing. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Like,
basically,
they're going and living their lives with all the, like, stress and the harshness of Iron Age life. And basically, it's a really dark, really kind of uncomfortable, almost, it has like a haunting quality to it, as her father's quite abusive. The exercise is not particularly fun. It means that people really fall into traditional gender roles in a way that kind of sucks for Sylvie and her mother. And then it has like a really, really dark ending.
It does.
Which really took my breath away.
Yeah, and it's also set against the experiences of a like Iron Age girl, like a real Iron Age girl who is obviously now long dead, and as well as the stuff with Sylvie and her family. I also really liked it a lot more than I liked Summer Water, which I didn't particularly enjoy. Have you read that?
So I started Summer Water because I'd had so much like kind of buzz about it and I was very excited for it, but it's from different perspectives, isn't it, and the first voice didn't really gel with me, so I do keep meaning to finish it because the concept intrigues me, and I'm not sure that Ghost Wall like I don't know, you know, I don't know, I can't really remember how I felt about it at first, but it is written in quite an unusual literary voice. Although it starts with such a cracking first line. So maybe I was hooked in straight away. They bring her out, not blindfolded, but eyes widened to the last sky, the last light.
Yeah, there was just something about Ghost War that really captivated me, which I didn't feel at all with Summer Water. Just really did not vibe with it. But obviously a lot of people liked it, so what do I know?
Yeah, maybe, well, I have it on my TBR, so we'll see. I'll check back in on that one.
Cool. So the next on our little list is Women by Chloe Caldwell, which came out a few years ago and we talked about on the pod. And it's a novella from the point of view of an unnamed narrator, which is kind of the story of her first relationship with a woman and how that kind of rises and falls. And that is a mere 2 hours, 24 minutes of your reading time. So if you want a juicy little more relationship-based thing rather than some dark demonic possession and Ice Age girls. Sorry, what age were we in?
Iron Age.
Iron Age girls. This could be one for you. I know this was one of your books of the year that year, Alice Slater.
I fucking loved it. I loved it. I loved Finn. I loved the way that the narrator fell so hard for her. I loved the world they inhabited. It's a real book about that kind of obsessive first love.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of sadness. For better and
for worse, yeah.
Yeah, like there's a lot of sadness in it as well. It's not just a sweet story, you know? Like it goes quite dark as well. But I loved it. I really loved it. I read it in a single day, as is the nature of this episode, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I might revisit it, actually. I think I may go back there. Well, I assume I still have to. It.
If not, I have more than one copy for some reason. sometimes, though, if I really like a hardback and then I get sent a paperback, I'm left very torn because I generally don't like hardbacks. I generally will always replace hardbacks with paperbacks eventually because of my little doll hands. I find hardbacks hard to read. But with novella-length work, the hardbacks are really attractive. So
they are, aren't they? They're very nice looking. A small little hardback.
And also, I think they do last longer than the paperbacks. Mm. So maybe it's a better economy. I don't know. When it's stuff like this, where it's a book that I really love and I have two copies, I know at some point I will be drunk in my house. Yeah. Someone will be like, I've never read that. And I will give them a copy and I'll feel high. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's like and the stars have aligned. You feel so good that you can do that.
Exactly. Okay, so the next one on the list is one that I don't think you have read this one.
No.
Okay. So this one is called Animals Eat Each Other by Elle Nash. It was published by 404 Inc. So it's, I think that makes it our first, oh no, we've had Faber and Granta, but it's our first small independent book on the list so far. So this one is about, it's a very sharp debut. It's about, again, a unnamed narrator, and she embarks on like, she joins a throuple with this satanic tattoo artist, yes, and his girlfriend Frances, and they have a baby, and like it's just all very like sexually charged and kind of weird, and she's a bit, if I remember correctly, she's a bit younger than them, so she very much kind of gets drawn into their kind of weird world. Not so much weird because of the thruppleness, but weird because of the Satanist stuff. And yeah, there's like lots of kind of rules and emotional distance that she's expected to bring to the situation. She lets them rename her. She starts to grow closer to one than the other, which creates all this tension. And also the other thing that I really love about this book is it's full of things like tarot reading, and she drinks vodka and cherry coke, which is always what I think of when I look at the cover, which is this really striking kind of vampire mouth made of a collage of like people's tattooed hands. It's great. It's a beautiful book to look at and it's a fun book to read.
This rings like literally zero bells with me. I feel like I've never heard of this before in my life. Never seen the cover. Don't remember anything about this, which is outrageous because it sounds good.
I'm not that surprised that No, wait, I am surprised that you haven't heard of it, because I'm positive I've talked about it on the pod before.
No, definitely not.
Have I not?
No, because I have a good memory for this kind of thing, so I'd remember, the vibe of the book.
It's just full of stuff that I really like rock music and serial killers and fucking that kind of goth shit, you know? Yeah. That's actually kind of tedious, but also very compelling. So yeah, Animals Eat Each Other. And that one, I forgot to say how long it is, but the reading length of that one is only 2 hours and 22 minutes. So
a whole 2 minutes shorter than Ghost, War, and Women.
Yeah, so you could bash really through it very quickly.
You save two whole minutes. You
shave off a couple of minutes.
I haven't read the next one, the one after that, or the one after that, or the one after that, or the one after that.
Oh my God, you haven't read any of those five?
No.
Okay, then I'm going to do some talking. Okay, so I can't believe that you haven't read this. This is Atessa Moshfegh's first book. It's called McGlue.
I know of it. I recognize it, but I have not read it.
Okay, let me give you a whistle-stop tour of McGlue. So it takes a mere 2 hours and 9 minutes to read. It was shortlisted for the Booker Prize in 2016, but clearly did not register with us because I didn't read it then. In fact, that would have been pre-Eileen as well, right?
Eileen came out in 2015.
Oh, okay. Wild. Anyway, Eileen was the first Atessa Moshfegh book I read. I think this is, honestly, it's my least favourite. So it's set in 1851 in Salem. And McGlue is a kind of drunk, a sailor. Is he a sailor? I feel like he's a sailor. It's very, Bukowskian meets The Beats, I would say. You know, that kind of tortured man vibe. Mm. He may have killed a man. He's not sure whether or not he did. He's so fucked for the whole novel, he can't really remember his own name. And it's a very, very different energy to the rest of her work. Or at least it feels like a different energy. Maybe because it's, walking that very, trad mask literary line that I kind of stopped reading when I left my 20s. Mm. But yeah, anyway, 2 hours and 9 minutes, I thought it'd be worth talking about. I can't believe you haven't read it.
Yeah, I am surprised I haven't read it, but I feel like it's the kind of book I will read at some point.
I will say, I feel like maybe my description there didn't necessarily sell it to you. I'm like, it's my least favourite, and I stopped reading books like this as a general rule in my 20s, but you should read it.
I'll give it a go.
Okay, so then the next one that I pulled off my shelves is actually a book that is now out of print, which I think really sucks. So it's written by, it's written by Luke Sutherland, who is an occasional member of the band Mogwai.
Oh yes, I know this band. I've heard of this band.
Yeah, and so basically it's called Venus is a Boy. It will take you a mere 2 hours and 4 minutes to read. And this one is... Okay, so my husband recommended it to me, and when I first started reading it, content note, it contains a very graphic sexual assault, or the aftermath of a sexual assault that's really graphic. It really turned my stomach, and I was like, why the fuck have you recommended this book to me? It ends up being just one of the most incredible queer novels I have ever read. It's about this writer who's drinking in, an East End bar, and he gets approached by this dude who's like, I know this guy, I think I know someone who you grew up with, and they're from Orkney, so it's a very small town. Anyway, then a month later, a package arrives containing a load of shit and a photograph of the writer as a kid. So he listens to a bunch of CDs that's in there, and basically listens to this whole heartbreaking and incredible story about this guy called Desiree. A man named Desiree. About his life from Orkney to Soho. It's just incredible. It's quite, it's surreal as well. I was about to call it magical realism, but I don't think, can you use the term magical realism for work that's not come from?
Yes, good question.
South America? I don't know, I feel like, I would like to call it magical realism, if that is politically acceptable and correct. But yeah, it's very gritty and beautiful, and yeah, I just think it's an incredible book. I need to reread it as well, because I think it just took me so by surprise. And it's so short, you know? Like, I started off finding it really difficult and not really enjoying it, to then being absolutely blown away by it. So yeah, it's out of print. If you can find a copy, I really recommend you do. And I hope that a publisher picks it up and republishes it, because it's a beautiful work.
This is very tempting to me. Also, I've looked up magical realism, and it is a point of contention that Latin America is the birthplace and cornerstone of all things magical realist. Like, that is a part of the theory of magical realism. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just one approach to it, but it is a dominant approach.
Yeah, okay, fair play.
I see what you are trying to communicate about the book, and I think the book sounds real good and is not one that I have come across, and it's a shame that it's out of print.
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope that if you read it, LMK. Also, I think I do have to do a big caveat that I read it so long ago that I hope that my description was accurate. I'd be really interested if anyone does read it. Let me know if you have a similar experience. Maybe I'm like over-egging how much I didn't enjoy the beginning, but I definitely know that I came away feeling really blown away. So, good all
Cool.
around. Okay, so next on the list at 1 hour and 52 minutes is the book I'm currently reading and hope to finish by this episode.
I really
But,
want to read this, so let me know
okay.
how you're getting on with it.
So far, I'm really enjoying it. It's Assembly by Natasha Brown. I posted it on Instagram yesterday when I started it on my stories, and immediately had like a confetti of messages, which were a mix of people saying cryptically, "Curious to know what you think of this one." I can't really say much about this one yet, apart from the fact that it's narrated by a Black British woman. She is carrying some burdens about herself and her life that she's kept from her partner. She is of this world, but she does not feel of this world, you know? So she has a high-paying job. She, how to describe it? She's just got a big promotion at work, like, but yeah, I mean, it's set in the age of the credit crunch, is what the description says on the back of the book. And she's preparing to attend this like really over the top party, and just there's a lot of tension, you know, internally and externally. Like, the world is full of go home bans. Like, she's done all the right things as a Black woman, but she doesn't necessarily feel like she will ever do everything that she can to like ingratiate herself into this world of like, you know, Oxbridge and fancy garden parties and, you know, lavish overspending. So yeah, it's about race and class and internalized and external tensions regarding those two things. But that's all I can say because I'm only halfway through.
Interesting, because I realized I wanted to read the book because so many people I knew were like talking about it. I was really interested in reading a book by like a Black British female author. But then I realized I literally have no sense of what it's about at all. Like, the cover doesn't really give anything away. The title doesn't really give anything away. I just, yeah. And I'm
Yeah, see, it's
interested to hear what it
funny
is about.
because I the cover, if you had asked me, if I wasn't holding the book, I wouldn't have been able to tell you what the cover is,
Is it
which
like a
sounds,
house with a kind of weird filter over it? Yeah.
yeah. So it's a house with a long garden path. It's like a manor house, like with a big front,
Yeah.
massive front kind of lawn, lots of trees and things, but with a weird filter, so everything's kind of off color and kind of distorted backwards. But yeah, so far I'm really enjoying it. It's very intriguing. It's written in this very reported style, which sometimes I really don't like. I prefer a more immediate voice. But for this character, she's very specifically written her in this voice to kind of reflect a level of dissociation, which really fucking works. So yeah, if the voice doesn't do it for you, I would still urge you to keep reading. It's not going to take you that fucking long to read, and I feel like there's a real like artistic reason for it to be written in that way. So yeah,
Cool.
loving that so far. I'll report back when I'm done. Okay, next, Miss Ice Sandwich by Mako Kawakami is the author of. Did she write? Oh no, she didn't write Breasts and Eggs. What did she write?
No, she did write Breasts and Eggs.
No, she did write Breasts and Eggs. Beg your pardon. You know why? It's because she has the same surname as Hiromi Kawakami, who wrote Strange Weather in Tokyo. So all those
Yes.
books are next to each other on my bookshelves. Anyway, yeah, Miss Ice Sandwich. So this one is super short. I think this is like, the in terms of page count, the shortest one on the stack. and it will take you 1 hour and 36 minutes to read. This one is about a young nameless narrator who's completely in love with the woman who works in his local supermarket. He calls her Miss Ice Sandwich because she works on the cold sandwich counter, and she wears this icy, like an icy blue frosted eyeshadow every single day. And he's completely besotted by her. And the book is about this connection, but also about all the things that he is avoiding in his life by focusing on this crush. It's really short. It's very, like, tender. It's definitely, it doesn't have, which I think is a theme. I'm going to say this a lot in the next episode we're about to record today. But it's not as sinister as I thought it would be when, like, having read the back and knowing that it's about this, like, almost parasocial. Parasocial probably isn't the right word, but she has
kind of
no
one-sided
idea.
Yeah,
she doesn't have a fucking clue who he is. He's just a teenager that she serves sandwiches to, whereas she is the axis on which his world spins, which I thought would have a more sinister edge, but it doesn't. It's just about a teenage boy with a crush, but I really like it.
Sometimes you got to read a book about a teenage boy with a crush rather than about horrible things happening to people.
You know what? Sometimes a little book about a crush is a nice thing.
Yeah. And then sometimes a book about a crush is the virgin suicides and ends up being dark anyway.
I think reducing the virgin suicides to a book about a crush is just
It's a book
hilarious.
About boys with crushes.
I love it.
That's what it's about.
It reminds you of that tweet. No, don't die. You're so sexy.
Yeah. That's the plot of the virgin suicides.
Oh, I love it. Okay, and then we've got two more, one of which you haven't read and one of which you have read. So
yes.
my monologue is nearly finished. So this one is, I thought I'd pick out a classic. So this is Carmilla by J. Sheridan Le Fanu. My reading time, I'd pasted the wrong time on our little list. This was actually 1 hour and 22 minutes to read this one.
Cool.
So it's our second shortest. And yeah, so Carmilla is a vampire story. It predates Dracula. It's not the first ever vampire story, though. I think Polidori came first with Vampire. But this one is about a carriage that crashes in front of a castle in Austria. And so this young woman and her father agree to take care of the injured passenger, who's a young woman named Carmilla. And it's kind of gay. I fucking love it. They end up very close. And Laura starts as Carmilla is like a very kind of unpredictable vibe. And Laura starts to become ill and starts to have nightmares and her health is deteriorating. You know, all that really vampiric shit. Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's a really great novella for when you start to feel spooky season is around the corner.
Yes.
And you know... Some people like to match their reading to the weather. So this is a very autumnal book for me. Anyway, yeah, so that's Carmilla. Super short and sharp, vampiric, fun. A really nice new edition came out from, I think, Pushkin last year. Please
pick
up Carmilla.
With a foreword by Carmen Maria Machado, if I'm not mistaken.
You are mistaken. That is a different edition. I know, because when I heard that Carmen Maria Machado had written an intro, I was like, fuck, I want to read that intro really badly. And then I was like, do I really need to buy a third copy of Carmilla? Because I still have my first copy. Because Pushkin very kindly sent me their new hardback, which is really beautiful. So yeah, what a fucking situation I'm in.
That's wild that two different publishers reissued it almost simultaneously.
Yeah, but the Carmen Maria Machado one is an American publisher. It's not actually been released in the UK.
No, but more just that
I'm
there
aware.
Must be something in the water that people want this at this particular time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I have no idea if there was, like, an external reason why that could have happened. But yeah, I really like it. And I also really like this author. I really like his book, Uncle Silas.
Oh, yes.
I've talked about that before.
Yes.
You know, I like my goth shit.
Spooky season.
Yeah, all that jazz. I'm just looking to see if this one has an intro. No, it doesn't. Straight in. Okay, fine. And then the last one on our list, I'll let you talk about because you read it.
Yes, last on our list and the shortest book of them all, a positively tiny 1 hour and 1 minute of reading time, is The End We Start From by Megan Hunter, which depressingly feels kind of relevant to this week where we're all thinking about the climate.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, what future life will be like on this earth. So the end we start from is about a kind of post-climate apocalypse London and a woman and her baby just kind of making it.
Yeah, they all become refugees, kind of escaping flooding. Like, London is completely submerged, and it's written in, like, kind of a prose poetry style, like, vignettes.
Yeah.
So there's loads of white space, so you just absolutely fly through it.
Yeah.
I just opened it to, like, the grossest line. I imagined the curdy shit flowing through his clothes, gathering in my crotch as we drive. It's very, you know, very powerful in its imagery.
Gnarly.
But yeah, I feel like this one, when it came out, which I was still a bookseller, and I remember just, it was such an easy sell, because it was such a great book. I really loved it. And, like, just, it, you know, everyone loves a quick read. So, like, yeah, I remember just selling something like 10 copies a day, which is a fucking ludicrous amount of anything to sell, but like, we were flying through it. I had it on the till, I was recommending it to everyone, and I was just really vibing with it. Definitely a good one if you are a fan of Station 11.
Yes.
Or Severance, you know, like these like post-apocalyptic novels that
women are wandering to us in a wilderness. Yes.
So yeah, I mean, those were just the ones that we kind of picked out as our favs. You know, I tried specifically to avoid picking out things like single short stories, like The Grown Up by Gillian Flynn, even though I really love that. That felt a bit cheaty.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'd love any books, any novellas. I think my personal definition of a novella would be under 50K. So that would be less than 3 hours to read. So we did also have like, what's it called? Nothing Can Hurt You. By Nicola May Goldberg. It is a really quick read. You had added it to the list as a maybe, but it's 4 hours.
Yeah.
So for me, that was too long. Not a novella, just a short book.
Yeah, and just because something would represent bad value to me as an Audible credit does not mean it's a novella.
Exactly. All right, cool.
Well, we're going to record another episode now, and then we will see you next week. Goodbye, my friends.
Bye! Bye.